Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are getting an update from Great Bear Resources, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol GBR, and on the OTCQX under the symbol GTBAF. I'm chatting with the president and CEO, Chris Taylor. Now, to get everybody up to speed, we do have a webinar again scheduled with Chris for next week, next Tuesday, June 30th at 2 p.m. Pacific time. So that's 5 p.m. Eastern time. We are going to be focusing a lot on the recent drill results that came from a lot of different zones, all within this Dixie project. And we're also going to be getting a bit more information in terms of visuals, what the company has planned for exploration. First and foremost here, Chris, let's talk about news that came out today. Great Bear adding Michael Kenyon to the board of directors. Now, for anyone who doesn't know Mike's background, he has been a part of a lot of acquisitions in the sector. Just to name a few, Sutton Resources was taken over by Barrick, Cumberland Resources acquired by Agnico Eagle, Canaco Resources acquired by Valet, also the more recent one, Detour Gold acquired by Kirkland Lake. Chris, give us a little insight on what this experience that Mike brings to the company will add to some of your strategies moving forward.
Yeah, thanks, Corey. The really interesting thing about Mike is that despite the fact he's been through a lot of M&A, he's really somebody that knows how to get projects built. And as you can see, like with Great Bear, the way that we've been growing as a company, when I put together Great Bear and all the team of great people that have made it, the success that it is, starting with Bob Singh, John Robbins, our independent directors, David Terry, Doug Ramshaw, Tony Ricci, everybody that's involved in the team now, from that level to using the Romini consultants in Red Lake who understand that district really well. It's all based on the strength of people, but the company effectively, if you look at it, it was built like to be a bit of a rocket ship in terms of successful exploration. And it's done that really, really well. We've made major discoveries and discovery after discovery at Dixie. I'm not aware of a lot of parallels in terms of companies in the industry that have done so well over such a short period of time. I mean, you got to think we only found the LP fault about a year ago today. So I guess about 13 months, but it's close to a year. So it's really a rapid growth process. But the next stage of growth for the company is to start doing the more advanced type of work. In future, this will be economic studies. Right now, it's metallurgical work, environmental baseline studies. We've got an initial agreement with our First Nations neighbors. And then on the board of directors side, a guy like Mike Kenyon is really useful for us because, again, he knows how to get projects from the early stage to a more advanced stage. And that's what we need to do right now, is to grow the company along with the growth of the Dixie project. And a guy like Mike, who has experience with these large companies, it's not, I guess the most important thing for people to understand when a company gets into Great Bear's position is it's not about how you say yes to various proposals. It's more about how you say no, and how you say no in a way that generates the maximum value for shareholders over time. And from the very beginning on Great Bear, and Corey, I know we've talked about this before, is we've had various offers come down towards us with all kinds of different structures of proposals where we would have mining companies get involved, either as an investment basis or directly at the project or directly with the company. And we haven't been interested in these because the growth in Great Bear has been so strong. But like I said, it's more an issue of how you continue to say no and continue to develop that in-house growth and development that benefits your shareholders for as long as possible. And a guy like Mike Kenyon, who we announced today, definitely knows how to do that. And that's expertise, I think, that will be in the long term money in the pockets for Great Bear shareholders.
So, Chris, it might be too early to answer this, but how would a major get involved with the Great Bear? You guys have such a tight share structure, only about 50 million shares outstanding. There are no other major companies that have even taken a stake in the company, mostly because you guys haven't needed it. The share price has just kept on moving higher. How could a relationship work out with a potential acquirer?
Well, there's a lot of ways to skin that cat. Like we've seen various structured proposals all the way from joint ventures through, you know, strategic investments through, you know, outright to sort of M&A activity. And none of these proposals have been as beneficial to our shareholders as just letting us do our jobs and giving us the time to figure out with this big beast of a project that we have, this Dixie property, how many zones there are, how big the zones we have are, how continuous the gold is, how deep it goes, how far along strike. And like I said, say it again, but how many zones there really are on the project. Because what we have on our hands, we think of it like a mining district. And if you look at the strike of the project, and I've said this again and again, but I'll say it again now because it bears repeating, you know, the Dixie property is 22 kilometers long. A lot of companies in the industry have big properties. A lot of that, to use just an impolite term, is just BS. If you don't have multiple zones or you don't have a specific target, which is the scale of your project, you just have a bunch of land effectively. What we have with the LP fault target is a more than 20 kilometer long target transversing our claims. And that's cutting across this Dixie Greenstone belt, which is the good host rocks for mineralization. So what we want to see is just the time to explore something that has the collective strike length of all the main mines in the Red Lake District combined occur over a strike length that's about the same as what we have on the Dixie property. And you can only imagine with the budget that we have now, $50 million in the till and, you know, leeway or runway, I should say, to drill for a couple of years without the requirement to finance again, what this thing is going to look like at the end of that process. It will be, I think, a very impressive picture. And that's up to us to continue to this successful path of exploration that we've been on and show people the scale of the project.
All right, let's give a little insights into this upcoming webinar where we will focus on the exploration. And let's look ahead to exploration plans, because quite frankly, you and I have been talking about all the drilling that the company has been doing and all the high grade results that we have seen from a number of different zones. So the LP fault, this is a large area that you just continue to drill and really tie together over, I believe it's about a 5 kilometer strike right now. But then we also had recent results out of the Dixie Limb and Hinge Zone. We also had a new deeper target that you guys just started drilling a couple months ago. And we got results that were, again, more high grade results. We last talked about a new discovery, this Arrow Zone that's to the west of the Dixie Limb and Hinge Zone. How are you going to balance out all this exploration opportunity?
Well, you know, the good thing, I guess, to take it right from the top is that we have the funding to do the drilling that we need to do. And our rig count is going back up to full strength here very shortly. So we'll be back up to 5 drill rigs next month in July. And then I think there's going to be addition of rigs after that. We'll provide some details on that going forward. But the picture that's emerging, Corey, you know, I was going over this with Bob Singh the other day. We were looking at all the 3D data together, and you can see it. If you look carefully at the cross sections and the maps that we've put out so far, you can see that what we really have on the project, if you include the LP fault and the adjacent zones, is really a target that has more than a kilometer of width, where you see multiple zones of mineralization, and then you have this massive strike length. I don't know how far the gold mineralization goes on the project so far. We know at least sort of along 5 kilometers of strike length, actually along 11 kilometers of strike length, we've drilled gold, and we're drilling this 5 kilometer grid. But what we're really seeing, if you think about it, the LP fault target, and then you have the Dixie Limb and the Hinge Zone beside that. The Arrow Zone looks like it's an on-strike extension of that Hinge Zone and Dixie Limb trend. And there's a whole slew of other targets that occur along that trend. So effectively, it's a corridor that's about 1.2 to 1.3 kilometers wide there in the middle of the project that's going to project along strike for I don't know how many kilometers, certainly more than 5 right now. But that's a huge area when you think about the multiple zone endowment. And I'll show that a little bit in the upcoming webinar, is to show how just about every change in geology, whether that's between the different basalt units, intrusive dikes, the faults that go through it, the changes into the felsic volcanic sequences, they all have precipitated gold mineralization, and it looks like multiple parallel zones, and now we have multiple targets emerging along strike. So the scale of it is not just the Dixie Limb Zone, the Hinge Zone, the LP Fault, and now the Arrow. The scale of it is this big dilated corridor over a kilometer wide that extends for X number of kilometers. We don't yet know, but we know we have a 20 kilometer long target on our project. So the potential for discovery is very high. The thing is, the zones we found, like the LP Fault Zone, the LP Fault is one of the biggest gold zones discovered in recent years in Canada, and by itself would be, more than enough to build, I think, a very significant company off that asset. The thing to understand, though, is it's just one of many targets that we have to explore at Dixie, and that discovery process is still in the very early stages. So I'll talk about that a little bit more with you. The easiest way to do it is to look at maps, look at cross-sections, and then think about the total exploration target.
And that's why we are running this webinar, so that everyone can follow along with those maps, some of those cross sections, get a hopefully better understanding of what the company is going after. Just one more quick comment on some of these other zones. I've already mentioned four areas that you guys have hit some high grade mineralization. When it comes to other zones, though, you're going to have so much drilling going on. How are you isolating some of these zones? How are you going to go about attacking them, balancing out all the other drilling that's going on?
But you let the results drive you. At every stage of the process, Great Bear is a results-driven success story. That's not going to change. I don't know what's in the ground before we drill it. But even if we've never found another gold zone on the project from this point onwards, we would still be dealing with one of the largest new discoveries in Canada. I don't think anybody disputes that. We have hundreds of drill holes now to back that up, and the results have been coming back consistently strong. So the simple answer to your question, Corey, is the results will continue to drive us. The exploration models that we're building are proving to be successful, and that's showing that we have excellent discoveries where we already do, and further upside potential as we begin to step out into new areas, step down below the existing zones that we already have, and overall build a much higher definition picture of the property and the total mineralized system that we have. It's a really, as that emerges into that high definition view, I mean, we're seeing continuity of high grade across kilometers, going to surface. We're seeing all this potential for new discovery. It's a really impressive picture that the drill rig is painting.
Okay. Now, if anybody has any questions before we start off that webinar, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. Chris will be taking questions. I will be interjecting questions throughout the webinar. But if you send those to me earlier on, then I can make sure that those are all ready to go and included when they should be, depending on what slide, what map we are looking at. Chris, appreciate your time again, sharing some more updates on Great Bear. I look forward to our webinar next Tuesday. Have a great rest of your week.
Thanks, Corey. I'll talk to you again soon.